Cloudcast Media.
Welcome to Your Next Mission Podcast with the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley. Proudly presented by Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans.
Good day out there, veterans and families. Welcome to Season 2 of Your Next Mission Podcast, a program initiative of the American Freedom Foundation. I'm Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, and your host. We have a great show for you. I shouldn't say just a great show. We have a wonderful show for you today. We're going to be talking to a couple of my friends that are going to give you some great information about our Army. Before we get started, if you're watching this on YouTube, please like us and subscribe that button. In fact, I'm going to ask the people on the show today to make sure they subscribe, and they're going to be one of our people that get one of our Your Next Mission t-shirts. And if you subscribe today, you can get one. All you got to do is make sure you put a comment in the box below so we know where to send the t-shirt. We're going to focus today on Army Recruiting Command. And I tell you what, the Army does a great job each and every day. And I'm proud to say I served 36 years and I want to give back just like every other veteran. Now, before we get started, I want to thank our presenting sponsors, Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans for making Your Next Mission happen. They love our veterans and families. And as I always say, we love them too. As I mentioned, today's theme is about Army Recruiting Command. And I'm so excited to welcome back. Now, this is a first for us. Welcome back to the first people that ever, two leaders that came back. They must be, shell-shocked from last time, but they're going to come back and talk to us again. Two great leaders from the United States Army Recruiting Command, Fort Knox, Kentucky, Major General Kevin Vereen, and Commanding General, and Command Sergeant Major John Foley, Command Sergeant Major. Sir, Sergeant Major, welcome back. So good to have you on the show.
Hey, thanks for having us on here, and glad we made the cut to come back.
Well, you was on the floor. We had to bring you up. So that was the
thing. Yeah, we're definitely excited to be here. So thank you.
I tell you, just before we even start, we're going to ask you a few questions. And I know everybody is pumped up. I'm pumped up. In fact, one of the things I want to ask you, is it too late for me to come back in? Never mind. We'll talk about that later. I know the audience is eager to hear about, both of you. And there's no question about that. But before we get started, could each one of you tell the audience a little bit about yourself? And sir, we're going to start with you. Protocol-wise, you go first, sir. That's the right way to do it.
Okay. All right. So great. I was going to defer and push it over to Sergeant Major.
Don't do that.
I got it. All right, sir. I got it. So just real quick, I am a Army brat. I'm born and raised in the Army, basically. Father served for a number of years, retired. I was actually born in Fort Bragg. So Fort Bragg's my home. I currently have one son serving. I've got one son that's going to be commissioned here in May, and he's going to be a field artillery officer. So he's going to be heading off to Fort Sill, Oklahoma, and then he'll get his follow-on duty station. Got brothers who have served, both have since retired, and just very excited about the Army. The Army is really a family business for me and my family, and just truly excited to be able to serve and be able to continue to give back.
Sir, how many years do you have it now?
I've got 31 years.
Well, you don't want to call anybody with 31. I call them rookies. I had 36 when I got it. Sergeant Major, how about yourself? Tell us a little about yourself.
I'm used to going first, so I'll back.
Are you really? I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, I'm used to going first, and so he always defers to me, and he bats cleanup. But hey, so the Army, the CG said he's an Army brat. I'm an Air Force brat, proud to be. Exactly. But I am proud to be a first generation Army soldier in my family, and so really proud of that for the last 32 plus years. In the Army. So I joined when I was 17 as an air defender. And so served in all kinds of units across the globe, as you can imagine. Did detailed recruiting in the mid-90s in Arkansas. And now, obviously, as a command sergeant major for the recruiting command here, my spouse, she retired as a soldier, soldier for life in 2010 as a first sergeant. So she's been waiting on me for a little while, and she's going to have to wait a little bit longer because I love what I do and love being the CSM for this command.
You know, it's really funny. Now, I know your wife retired as a first sergeant, but I think she's the commander in your house anyway, isn't she?
Oh yeah. She puts me at attention.
Yeah. I've been married 52 years, and I know who's in charge. You know, this I've been going around a long time.
Yeah, I do have a four-star general that is at my house. So,
we all understand that. It's, you know, it's, but I'll tell you, the key to success to all of us is our spouse.
Yes,
you know, I don't think I ever could have made it through the military without the commitment, the dedication, the loyalty of my spouse and all the things she did. So, hey, sir, can you tell us a little about the history of the Army Recruiting Command and what some of your major initiatives are to attract new recruits now?
Well, no, that's a great question. And so without giving a long history lesson, I'll just tell you, we've been the Army has been in the recruiting business since the Revolutionary War. As you all know,
I was there. I know that.
If you definitely know your history. We had to recruit then, and so bring young men on to fight. That was kind of where we started. Since then, of course, we've gone through a couple of different iterations and things through our history. You know, primarily conscription was really how we grew our force. Basically, you didn't volunteer; you were basically voluntold. And then, of course, we've gone through the draft and the selective service through the years as the Army continues to exist. And then, of course, in 1973, when, we started the all-volunteer Army, the all-volunteer force, then we really professionalized our recruiting entity. And that's when United States Army Recruiting Command really became a professional recruiting force to really grow and to, make our Army ready. With young men and women to serve in the United States Army.
Yeah. Hey, Sergeant Major, I'm gonna ask each one of you a question. I'm gonna ask the other if they want to add anything to it. Sergeant Major, you want to add anything to that about the?
I think he hit it all spot on. I mean, a 1973 all volunteer force, and so we're really proud of that. And so anybody that joins our Army today, they do it because they want to serve, and that's what we're looking for: talent.
Well,
talented
you're people, probably
right people.
Yeah, you, I don't know if you know that, but when I came in, I listened to service, but they had the USs and RAs and stuff, and it was a good Army, but it wasn't the Army it is today. There's no question about that.
Right.
Because, they had a lot of discipline problems, a lot of different things, but the Army today is just unbelievable. We're not the biggest Army, but we're the best fighting force in the world. There's no question about that. Sergeant Major, can you tell us a little bit about the challenges recruiters face today?
Oh, yes. So this is a great question. So obviously we experience challenges in any era that we recruit out of it. But certainly what I did in the mid-90s and what's happening today. And some of those challenges are similar, but they do change. Today, the biggest challenge our recruiting NCOs face today is the face-to-face interaction with people. And so schools, communities. And so it's very powerful for our recruiting NCOs to get out to engage people face to face. That's where they're really challenged today. We use other systems, digital systems, social media. That has an impact, but really it's the interaction face to face over the last 2 years of the operational environment that we're experiencing today, obviously with the pandemic. And so the second thing is, about 75% of our people between 16 and 28 years old know little or nothing about the Army. So how do we make that connection for the Army to the American public within our communities? And then the third thing is basically qualifications. And so about 75% of qualified or military age men and women are disqualified from Army service. And so a lot of that has to deal with health, obesity, and some of those law and drug violations out there that, we won't take into the Army based off of those values.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing too is I think it's still the same. You take a lot of people in, but you put out, you know, some of those people don't get through basic and AIT. I think when I was still on active duty, I think the number was around 4,000. I don't know if it's probably a lot different now, but there's a large number of people that just, for some reason, they don't fit in or have medical issues that you don't know anything about, and they have to put them out.
Right. Yeah. I think, I think that the thing with attrition, has really been, it's been a benefit for us. Our attrition rates now, you know, for folks who can actually get into basic training and complete basic training, their attrition rates are fairly low. So that's been really good for us. So I think it shows the quality of young men and women that we're trying to put into the Army, because we want them to make sure that they're successful through basic training. And of course, you know, when they get to their first duty assignment and be able to endure that.
You know, you hear a lot about people say, you know, it's, I guess, old guys like me. I don't say it, but I've heard a lot of people say, you know, the people that they're putting in the military today is not quite as good as I was years ago. And I think it's baloney. You want to say anything about that, about the young recruits that we put in the service now? Either one of you.
Yeah. SMA, I think that's furthest from the truth. I mean, our youth today are smarter than we are. They are. They're just more technologically advanced. They have lots of great ideas, and they want to make a difference. And that's really when we try to seek out talent, bright young men and women that want to serve. That's what we're trying. That's what we're looking for.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a challenge. I know it was a challenge when I was on active duty. What it makes me think about is your recruiters are doing a bang up job if they're bringing in that kind of quality people in. And so obviously you guys are doing a great job too. We're talking with Major General Kevin Vereen and CSM John Foley from the Army Recruiting Command. And you're listening to Your Next Mission podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major Army. And don't forget, if you're enjoying this discussion, please like us and click on that subscribe button below. We want you to follow. Our goal is to have a couple hundred thousand people watching this show. And with you guys on the show, I know next week we'll have 200,000. Sir, let's March to service as a new initiative from Army Recruiting Command. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah, that's great. March to service is, of course, exactly what it's saying. I mean, in the month of March, we're gonna make a full court press, all hands on deck sort of initiative that is going to allow both our recruiting non-commissioned officers, our recruiting leaders. But I think the most important piece is it is an enterprise approach. We're reaching out to, of course, our general officers, our senior nominative command sergeants, major. We're also reaching out to our civilian organizations, our civilian aides to the Secretary of the Army, reserve ambassadors, our veterans. And really, it's focused on getting out in our communities and really having a presence. You know, COVID has really put us in a position where we lost our presence in our communities. And in some cases, we lost the touch points with our school systems. You know, I'll just frame it as an example. We lost two classes of high schoolers. We lost the juniors and we lost seniors. So since the beginning of COVID, of the pandemic. And so those young men and women they're out in society. They're in colleges, they're out in the communities, and we lost them. And so we're going to reestablish our presence inside of our communities. And we want to make sure that that America knows that the Army is still here. And we need an Army. We need a strong Army. You know, if you look at what's going on around the world today, there's no better time now to have some very talented young men and women to serve in the United States Army. So that is really what March to Service is all about. It's about getting back out in our communities and really using every asset, every enabler, every influencer, every uniform person to be able to talk about the great things that our Army is doing. And then I think the last thing about what we're doing is really changing the landscape. We know that this young generation relies on their peers. And so we really have invested a lot of time into, you know, capitalizing on the young men and women, these young 19, 20, 21 year olds who are currently serving in our force comm units, doing great things. They're working on aircraft, you know, they're driving tanks, they're shooting artillery, you know, they're doing, all of our STEM sort of skill sets that the Army really needs. And we are using them to go back into their communities and talk to their peers about their experiences and what it is to serve in the great United States Army.
Well, one of the things, as you was talking, I was thinking, one of the things I wish you'd do, and first of all, you always got my support. I'll help you in any way I can. But I think it'd be nice if maybe, I don't know, once every month or once every 60 days, we get a little from the veteran community and going through the retirement services or whatever to talk about, you know, what's the three or four things the veteran community can help you with. Because I love the Army, and I love to do anything I can to help the Army each and every day. And I know everybody I talk to, the company, I have a small company, they're all retired sergeant majors. They all love the Army, and they'll do whatever we can to help you each and every day. So, hey, Sergeant Major, can you tell me a little bit about how you hope to reinvigorate these partnership stuff that you've had for the military?
Yes, SMA, absolutely. So the CG mentioned about all of our leaders going out and engaging in the cities across the U.S. And that's really what we want to do. It's a campaign to do this across America. And really, we want to connect with our community leaders. We want to connect with those influences in our communities to really talk to them about the opportunities and the Army benefits that is available for our people and for the youth out there. And really to address those misperceptions about the Army, and so that they can go out and further promote what we do and what the Army has to offer to the people that they influence. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to arm our community leaders with this in some of our cities across the U.S.
Well, you know, most people never see the active duty Army. Unless you live around a military place. But if you look at middle America, they don't see the Army. They see the National Guard normally, and they judge, and the National Guard does a great job, but they judge the Guard, and they think it's everybody, but they don't see much of the active duty, which is unbelievable. And I think, and I don't know why we don't do more things like that. I've always thought that we ought to be on national television talking about the military and telling people more about what they do each and every day, because you do so many great things, that's for sure. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely spot on. And we have changed sort of how we mission our units now. We really spread our presence when we talk about reaching into their communities. And so we're allowing our NCOs to really own their geographical areas, the areas that they operate in. So we want to, because we have some areas across America where you're right, you don't see the presence. But the way we have started missioning our NCOs is really getting after going into spaces that we have not had a major presence in and putting the right recruiting NCO, whether it's the right gender, the right ethnic group, so that it matches that community. So they can see people that look like them. They can see that you can serve. And you're right, we have not had a presence where we needed to be. But we've reestablished our missioning model, and we're looking to make sure that we have presence pretty much all across the United States of America.
Yeah. It's the other thing I think is really neat about the military. I may have told this the last time, but I'll tell you again. I came in the Army. I wasn't a good kid. I was a bad kid. The Army, I always tell people, the Army saved my life and it changed my life and made me who I am today. And I think that's for a lot of people. It really made you grow up. And any successes I've had in life is three people. Of course, God, my wife, and the United States Army. Those are the three people that really, and all the people I met in the Army, of course, they helped me out a great deal. Again, if you're listening, the Army is a great place. If you never talked to a recruiter, if you know anything about the Army, go into a recruiting station, sit down, talk to somebody, learn about. Tell me again, how many different MOSs do we have in the military?
We have 150 SMA.
Yep.
150 MOSs. Lots of skill sets out there. Lots of technical skills.
Yep.
Not just combat arms jobs. And so anything you want to do, the Army has.
Yeah. You know, I told somebody the other day, if you put the Space Force, Coast Guard, Marine Corps, and Navy and Air Force together, they're still not as big as the Army.
They're not. That's right. They're not.
Absolutely. And I think I think the other important thing about our Army, which is different from all the other services, is you're gonna get your career field. We're gonna give you your career field. So you'll know what you're gonna be doing in the Army before you even ship off to, you know, to training. And that's something that some of the other services don't do.
Well, one last thing. We're going to take a quick break. The other thing is you have to get out of your comfort zone. A lot of people don't want to get out of the community. They want to stay in that community. But if you want to grow in life and you want to really do something with your life, step out of that circle a little bit. You know, go to the next circle and start growing and developing as a young adult. So I think that's the right thing to do. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Your Next Mission Podcast.
You're watching Your Next Mission, proudly presented by the Cavalry Agency. They help brands dominate no matter their size. Ideas, strategy, action. This is Cavalry. Learn more at cavalry.com. Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Purdue Global, providing affordable online education for hardworking adults. Learn more about a personalized, innovative, and world-class education at PurdueGlobal.edu. Veterans United Home Loans, the number one VA lender for 5 straight years. If you're buying, they're funding your dreams. Learn more at veteransunited.com. Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. I'm the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley, and we're blessed to be here today with Major General Kevin Vereen and Command Sergeant Major John Foley. I got to say, two of my friends from Army Recruiting Command. And I want to tell all of our listeners to reach out to me directly. Tell us about your transition out of the military. We want to help you. Not only do we want to bring you in the military, we want to help you get out of the military, too. So tell us what topics you'd like us to cover on the show. You can call me or text me at 844-424-1134, and I'll reach out to you. Now, I'll reach out to you. I'm not going to send a messenger. I'm going to contact you and see how you're doing. Or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Now, the other thing I'll tell you, I love to have fun, so let's have a good time. Okay, let's pick it up where we left off. We're heading into our final segment with you today, and I hope both of you have enjoyed it just as much as I have. You know, every time I talk to a soldier, it just pumps me. I'll be hovering for the next 2 or 3 days. I really just have a couple of more questions. Sir, we've been hearing about the Army's new initiative. I guess they have a 50,000 incentive bonus. First of all, I'll say they never had that when I was on active duty. can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah. So this is a very new initiative, as you mentioned, and we want to make sure that, As you know, in this environment now, it's all about our competition for talent. It's all about how do we compete in a very, very tough environment. And so some of it focuses on, we want to make sure, first of all, that that it's just about service. It's about you wanting to serve. So service is really should be the first and foremost approach in how we screen our applicants and how we career them, about service to their country. But I'll tell you, the financial incentives have really, really been able to allow us some great flexibility and some great capability when it comes to competing in a very competitive environment. And so we're offering $50,000 bonus. This is the first time that we've been able to offer that. Now, I'll tell you, we offer some other substantial bonuses as well. We offer $40,000. We've got quick ship bonuses for folks who ship between 30 in 90 days. I mean, there's, you know, the amounts vary. And so we have some very, very appealing sort of incentives. But the $50,000 bonus is out there. We want to make sure that that our young men and women that have an interest in serving in the Army, hey, just come to one of our recruiting stations. Reach out to one of our recruiting NCOs and have a conversation. And we can definitely discuss what incentives match you and what skills that that you would, you know, definitely fits your, based on all the things that you do and the things that you present, all those things come into play as to what we can provide and what you can provide for the Army. So we're excited about the $50,000 bonus.
Yeah, you know, it's almost like it's your money. You look a little pumped up right there. You know, I was supposed to get a $10,000 bonus in the military. And And I had like 2 weeks too many, so I only got $2,000. I was going to quit. But my goal in the Army was to save $5,000. I thought I'd be rich. But that's tough. Hey, Sergeant Major, aside from financial initiatives, what are some of the other initiatives the Army is offering right now?
So you'll get a kick out of this. So since you missed out on $50,000, you probably missed out on...
Don't tell me nothing else now. Don't.
Yeah. So you probably missed out on Station of Choice, too. We have 10 locations right now where an applicant can enlist and choose one of up to 10 duty stations that we have available. Some of those, Fort Bliss, Fort Polk, Fort Hood, Fort Campbell, Fort Drum, Fort Stewart, Carson, Joint Base Lewis and Cord, and then Alaska. I think I got them all, maybe. And so so you can choose one of those. And if you look at the geographical locations of those, it's spread out all over America. And so that incentivizes and kind of gives you some predictability on, hey, I can choose my MOS, my job, and I can choose the duty location. And you know what? I may be able to get a bonus with it, too.
Yeah.
And so that's powerful.
Yeah. It's all about allowing them to be part of the decision cycle. They want to be part of making decisions for themselves. And so you think about it. They get to decide where they want to be stationed at for their first duty assignment.
Right. So that's very recent from the last time we talked.
That's good. I like that. I'm sorry.
This is about 2 months old or so.
Yeah.
And so, and then the other thing, we brought this back. We had it a few years ago. Now we brought it back is 2 year enlistments. So we call it a 2+2, 2 years in the active duty. And then if you decide to ETS, get out of the Army, then you do 2 years in the reserves. So it's 2 years active, 2 years reserves. We did bring that back. For some of our applicants out there that are maybe a little hesitant and having long-term commitments. And so instead of enlisting for 3, 4, 5, 6 years, there is a 2-year option now.
Yeah. You know, that really makes me mad because one is I can't get the bonus. I couldn't get my choice assignment. And now you guys are doing all that stuff.
ASMA, I got a quick one for you. Hey, check this out. So when I joined the Army at 17 years old, I just wanted to join. Truthfully, and I was a senior in high school, and I was in delayed entry for about 9 months. I had no kid and did not know my MOS. When I went to basic training, they said, hey, what's your MOS? I said, what is that? I didn't know, and I didn't care. I just wanted to be in the Army. And that is a no-kidding true story. Yep.
Well, I got to tell you why I came into service. I told you, I think last time we talked, I wasn't the best kid in the world. And I graduated at 17 years old. I was sitting down on the Columbia River drinking a beer. And the guy says, what are you going to do with your life? I said, I don't know. He said, you want to go to college? I said, well, guys like me don't necessarily go to college. said, the second guy says, do you want to join the Army? And I said, okay. I didn't know this fighting a war. Right. You know, so, You know, for you people, and the other thing I think is really important is families. Families ought to be listening to what you got, talking to families, telling them what's going on, because the Army makes you a better person. Yeah. You know, it allows you to grow and develop. And I mean to tell you, the friends and the people that I met in the United States Army, I could call them today and they'd do anything for me, and I'd do anything for them. It's a long life. A lifelong, I got to get the words out there, lifelong relationship that never goes away. Right. And it's officers and non-commissioned officers, not just one side or the other. It's like this. It's all, we're all together. Right. We're twined together. That's for non-commissioned. One of the other things I think is probably pretty interesting to for you guys to talk about anyway, is you have a tremendous focus on education too. Is that correct? On the education about coming in and getting your degree and all that stuff. What do you want to, Sergeant Major, sir, you want to talk about that?
Right. No, absolutely. And so, I mean, in the Army, you can go to college and your tuition is 100% paid for, 100%. I did that personally, graduated with a bachelor's degree, didn't pay 1 cent for it on active duty. My spouse did it. She did it. She graduated with a bachelor's and a master's. And so it can be done, obviously, on active duty. And then when you get out, obviously, there's the GI Bill that pays your tuition as well, along with some other stipends for housing and, you know, books and everything else. And so, and my wife used that after she retired to get her PhD. And so, not bragging on my spouse, but it can be done.
Yeah.
And so, and it's been nice of there.
Yeah, no, I think the other aspect of this is we all know that everybody's not college ready coming out of high school. We understand that. And so, they just want to do other things. And so when we talk about, hey, you can do those other things. You can, you know, you can serve in the Army. And by the way, you know, while you're serving, we're going to give you, you're going to get a college education. That's absolutely critical. So we know that some,